And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM. And as promised, we have a live update coming in right from Gaza. This is very on the spur, on the moment, and very important. And we are speaking with Joe Catron. And he is a solidarity activist, a freelance writer from the United States currently in the Gaza Strip. He's been keeping people up to date on the minute as best as possible about this recent incursion, attacks, a very dangerous situation that seems to be escalating very rapidly. So, Joe, thanks very much for being on the program with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it must be a very busy and dangerous situation there. We appreciate every minute of your time that you can give us. It's not the first time we've interviewed someone under attack in Gaza, but certainly this is the big focus among everyone I know right now, and we're going to be seeing a lot more from this. I've heard from my friend Eva Bartlett that you're based there currently and able to observe this situation. I guess before we get started, that's interesting in and of itself. You're a solidarity activist, so how is it that you came to be watching this?
Well, I've been here for, I believe, coming up on 19 months since March of last year. I'm writing about a number of things. I've not yet begun to write on the attacks of the weekend and today, although I probably will. And the first attack today, the assassination of an Al-Qassam Brigade leader, actually occurred fairly close to my apartment building, so I heard the explosion before I realized the scope of what was going on. This, of course, was before Israel had announced a major offensive in Gaza, which it has now done. And since then, I and other solidarity activists here have been keeping an eye on things, doing what we can to disseminate information through Twitter, blogs, conversations with media like this, and other means. And we're currently actually meeting to figure out what our next most useful steps here can be. I've stepped out of that meeting for the moment.
Well, I imagine one of the more useful things is to bring news and coverage, especially here to North America, where sometimes our interviews and information go through a lot of filters by the time they reach us. But what you've been seeing is pretty unfiltered. Something happened nearby. I know that also the leader of Hamas was said to have been struck, and you've heard about at least 20 bombings, is probably more by this point today, I imagine.
Oh, yes, quite a few. It's hard to keep track, but we've been having periodic explosions here and bursts of explosions throughout the day. I guess it was about 4 o'clock our time, a little before it, when that assassination took place. And the attacks since then have been nonstop. One of my most useful tools for keeping track of what's going on throughout the Gaza Strip has actually been Twitter, and I've been monitoring my friends' accounts of what's going on in their different parts of the Gaza Strip, in Nusayrat, Shijaya, etc. And it's happening everywhere at once. I've been told there are over 30 attacks now within the last 6.5 hours alone since that initial attack I told you about. And there's no sign of them stopping in the immediate future that I can see. We've seen Israeli officials telling the media that they're prepared for a multi-day aerial operation, which is primarily what we see going on now, and the possibility of a ground incursion as well. So it's a pretty serious situation here, certainly a much greater scale of aggression than Gaza has seen at any point since Operation Cast Lead at the end of 2008 and the beginning of 2009.
In many ways, it does seem a repeat of that scenario. So you've heard about or witnessed multiple air attacks. Now, I had heard there's naval attacks as well. The ground forces, as you say, are set to come in at a certain point. But at this point, you're at least there's involvement of the Israeli Air Force and Navy.
That's correct. I myself have not witnessed naval shelling of the shore, but I've been told by people I think are generally reliable that it is going on. Everything I've seen, I believe, has been airstrikes. I'm not aware of any incidents I myself have personally witnessed involving the Navy, but of course, I've seen a small fraction of the day's attacks.
Well, as you pointed out, you've been able to witness updates on Twitter and probably other social networks, something that wasn't as available during Castled a few years ago. I'm just looking at similar Twitter and Facebook things right now from people that are there. I've seen a quote, warplane just launched two heavy missiles to the west of my neighborhood. Allah save my family and all Gazans. And there's similar reports. How are you seeing this being reported in terms of larger media institutions?
Well, so far, the larger media have been relying primarily on the Israeli narrative and Israeli media institutions portraying this as Israel defending itself against rockets from Gaza. Of course, I would trust most of your listeners are aware that the current exchange began on Thursday with an Israeli incursion into Gaza, which involved the shooting death of a 13-year-old boy playing football. Two more boys were killed, coincidentally also playing football, in another incursion on Saturday. Two young men who had come to rescue them from a nearby funeral were similarly killed, and the situation has continued from there. The resistance forces in Gaza have offered a ceasefire. A ceasefire was in effect for a while, but of course, Israel sees ceasefires generally as an opportunity to regroup and figure out its future military strategy. It almost inevitably breaks them, as was the case almost exactly 4 years ago in 2008 on November 4th, when it broke a longstanding ceasefire with an incursion into Gaza that resulted in Operation Cast Lead. So at this point, some of the media are doing okay, but most are relying heavily on Israeli version that is, frankly, kind of ludicrous and out of touch with reality. The actual data on who fired what when is not at all obscure or hard to find. The United Nations, for example, keeps a fairly thorough database of that kind of thing on one of its agencies' websites, but very little actual research seems to be going on among journalists, and instead many seem to be relying on the first press release that reaches their desks, which unfortunately seem to be coming from the Israeli side.
Well, it's good that we have people like you there. I know that in the case of Cast Lead, the Israeli narrative started to break down not too long into the incursion, in the sense that a lot of media, especially in the European Union, not to mention most of the world, started questioning the accounts of the Israeli military, started bringing in other accounts. Now, this time, you're seeming to indicate that they're using the same script, and that is retaliation, that they're retaliating from rockets that came over from Gaza. Now, is that the case? Are they pushing the rocket story again? Does it even add up?
No, it doesn't add up at all. And it's a script that I don't think ever changes. It's one we've heard time and time again. One point I saw a friend make earlier online while trying to follow the events in his neighborhood was that the first rocket from Gaza was fired in 2001, 53 years after the ethnic cleansing of 1948, which pushed the majority of Palestinians now in Gaza here. That's one of the most key elements of the situation that is often forgotten. The Gaza Strip is essentially a large refugee camp. Two-thirds of its population are either, very close by. But two-thirds of the population are people who were ethnically cleansed by Israel in 1948. And when you're looking for the source of any antagonism, I think that is the first thing you should look at, how the majority of people in Gaza came to be here. That, I think, is the most obvious provocation on either side. But beyond that, in the immediate sense, within the past few weeks, what we have seen are Israeli incursions. For example, the incursion last Thursday, which are met with a response. And then Israel retaliates against the response and calls it self-defense. It's outrageous and ludicrous. There's nothing much more generous I can say about it.
So this is currently a response to a response. You mentioned, I guess, some of the first acts in the more recent series of events was Israel conducting violence in a number of incidents that you've been able to point out.
Yes, that's correct. And in the case of during one specific incursion on Saturday, the resistance forces here responded to an Israeli military vehicle that had entered Gaza, and then Israel called its response to that self-defense, whatever you make of that. If the United States sends a tank into NATO, into Mexico, and a Mexican shoots at the tank, who is defending what? I think it's pretty obvious to any sensible observer.
Well, you had mentioned that you were distracted momentarily because of some booms outside. So is that a regular occurrence? I mean, how frequently are you hearing explosions that are within range of your senses?
Today, I would say I've been hearing bursts of them, clusters of them, periodically, maybe every 30 to 40 minutes. It's clear that there's some pattern in terms of what they're targeting when, but I haven't yet been able to figure it out.
Well,
but they're not evenly distributed. They tend to come in bursts. For example, there was the one I mentioned to you, then I heard another one just now, another couple actually, as you were asking the last question. Meanwhile, I hadn't heard any for maybe 40 minutes to an hour before our conversation. So they're irregular and clustered together.
It's probably more intense than most things that you've experienced in your travels. Now, you had mentioned you're in a meeting with journalists or activists trying to figure out what to do. What's the general mood? Do you feel that your physical security is in danger at this point?
Well, I think our physical security as foreigners is probably the best of anyone's in the Gaza Strip. It's not exactly a secret that Israel generally tries to avoid harming citizens of third countries, particularly those in the West, for diplomatic reasons. And most of us are far more concerned with the safety of our Palestinian friends here who don't have nearly the same protections as foreigners, essentially, that come naturally to most of us. I'm sure Israel keeps a close eye on where foreigners are or are likely to be, and generally does what it can to avoid harming us directly. For example, at the moment, I'm in an apartment in a building with UN staff. There's a UN flag on the roof. UN is written on the roof. So there's little danger of us actually being bombed here. My own apartment is somewhat less upscale, but I share the building with another international aid agency, so it's equally safe. My friends in other regions of the Gaza Strip don't necessarily enjoy quite as much deterrence.
Well, looking at what people in Canada are saying on the social networks, I've had people who are afraid and worried. They want to encourage the international community to respond in time. There's already a solidarity demonstration being held today in Montreal at 6 p.m. at Concordia. They want to raise attention to the damage being caused by what's been called Operation Pillar of Defense. So people are starting to mobilize here in Canada on the issue. What is that what you're hoping for as journalists and activists, or what do you think that it is that people around the world should be doing right now?
Yes, that's certainly our big push here, trying to generate an appropriate response from the international community and our friends and fellow activists around the world. We've, of course, been greatly heartened by the news that's been rolling in regularly of protests taking place or being planned around the world. As you mentioned, Montreal today. And then protests are also being planned in New York, London, Dublin. They've already occurred, I believe, in Cairo, Ramallah, and other cities around the immediate region. So that's something that's very important, and it's going to be a big focus of our work, I think, in the coming days, doing what we can to generate more attention to the attacks here and also more pressure both on the Israeli government and on the primarily Western governments that enable its aggression to put a stop to it.
And certainly, if people are close by, there's blood donations being organized, as the Friends of the Winchevsky Center have notified people about. And there's a demonstration I just heard about in D.C. as well. So you're right. Major cities already are demonstrating on this. So the time you're able to give us here is very precious, the information. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we close out today about the whole operation or the international community?
I suppose the most important thing I could say about it is that this is, I think, the single most important time for Friends of Palestine around the world to mobilize for Gaza since January 2009. I know there are periodic escalations here. People get a little used to them, even people here. But this is the single most significant aggression that I think any of us have witnessed since the end of Operation Cast Lead. And Israel has given every indication that it plans to continue it for days at least. So this is the time to respond if people are going to respond. This is certainly a big one, if not the big one. It's not like the regular escalations that have occurred every few months since I've been here. It's something more significant, and we're seeing every indication of that.
Indeed, it sounds very serious. Well, thank you very much for bringing this to our attention, bringing this to our listeners. We're very grateful. And you have a blog, is that right? Is there a place where people on the internet can catch your writings?
Yes, I have a blog, which is joecatron.wordpress.com. Honestly, I'm not that conscientious when it comes to the blog. I'm much more active on Twitter. If anyone wants to follow me on Twitter, my handle is JNCATRON. That's J for Joseph, N for Nathaniel, CATRON. And I'm on there constantly sharing pretty much all the information that comes to me about what's going on here.
JNCATRON. That's easy to catch. Okay, well, thank you very much, Joe, and we very much appreciate it.
Thank you very much.